Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So, if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to info@morelifechurch.com. Now, enjoy today's message.
Couple of exciting things that are happening. Want to make an announcement to you. Because of the faithful generosity of our church family, we have some things in the works. One of the things that we have in the works, which should be up and running by summertime, is live video streaming of our services, which should begin by this summer. So I'm super stoked about that. If you aren't able to be in the house with us, you can check it out from the beach or the mountains or the ocean or wherever you're going to on vacation. You can check that out. And so right there, live during the service times, the whole worship service. So pretty excited about that. Also, we've been talking about a building project, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Some things, but if you go into our children's wing, you're going to see kind of a wall full of decorations and some kind of crafts and artwork that some of the children have worked out. There's about 100 or 100 plus of these types of pictures. And what the assignment was for our students was we asked the kids to kind of create a picture of what you want, what they want our next building to look like, and why. Pretty cool idea, don't you think? And so here's a couple of them that I read. There's a bunch down there to read. This one said, the church should be shaped like a heart because the church should have love. How many like that? That's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's good. This one said, they didn't have a desire for what the church should look like, but this is what they said. Jesus should be in the church. I think that's pretty good. I mean, you know you had church if Jesus showed up. Come on, somebody. And the last one, it's probably my favorite. It says this. So they said, they had a picture there, but this is what they said. They said, I want more doors so that more people can get in. They get it, don't they? They get me. I feel like they get me. I feel like they know me. And that was really, really cool. And more importantly, way more importantly than knowing me, I think they know God. Because God is all about inviting others in. That's one of the things that I love about this church is that several years ago, we crossed over and made a decision that we were just going to kind of enlarge our circle of love and just be totally inclusive and loving of anyone. Doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter what they believe. Doesn't matter what they smell like. Doesn't matter any of those things. We're going to love them. We're going to love them because this is a deal. If you can't come to God's house and get God's love, where in the world are you going to find it? Oh, I'm going to say that one more time. If you can't get God's love in God's house, where are you going to get it? Right? I mean, so we need to live this out loud and speak the truth in love. And we've been doing this for over a decade now. And little did Angie and I realize, and the team that helped us, what God would do in what I think is a relatively short period of time. And I cannot wait to see what God is going to do next. Today I want to talk to you about beyond faith. A faith that goes beyond. And I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to give you a few markers or indicators of what beyond faith looks like, and more than anything, I want you to hear the truth. I want you to grow. I want you to be encouraged. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to grow today. Well, wait, let's try that again, and let's try that again, except let me give you something else to say. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time for you to grow up. Go ahead and tell them. Y'all like that too much. That's awesome. So I'm going to read this verse of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, a portion of verse 15 and a portion of verse 16, and then I'll pray, and we'll get into it and unpack it a little bit. Our hope, Paul says, is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for making it very clear in each and every heart today, speaking to the core of what your people need. For every person who's come here today, Father, hungry, thirsty, ready, willing to have more of you, Lord, I thank you in advance that that's the type of heart, that's the type of soil, that's the type of environment, that's the type of life that you do the unusual in and do the unusual for. So, Father, I thank you for hearts and lives being stirred, equipped, encouraged, and changed by your word through your spirit. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. If you agree with that, let me hear you shout amen. Amen. Paul, in this passage, is talking to us, and he talks about his authority a little bit, but then he begins to talk directly to the people that he was writing to and their faith walk. See, Paul is encouraging them. He says this, here's my hope. My hope is that as your faith continues to grow, so there's an assumption there. There is something built into this statement. Paul's saying to us, hey guys, your faith, it's supposed to be growing. In other words, your faith should be different and further today than it was when you gave your heart to Christ however many weeks, months, or years ago in which you made that decision. In other words, your life should look differently now than it did the day you gave your heart to Christ. Your faith should be growing. You should not stagnate. See, it's one thing to give your heart to Christ. It's another thing to then to continue to grow. And he says, there's a purpose for your faith to grow. And he says this. He says, as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand. Everybody say expand. Expand. We've been talking about expansion, and here Paul talks about that when we grow in our faith, the activity, in other words, the influence of the body of Christ should expand in proportion to the growth that occurs inside the life of the believer. So as you grow, God's kingdom grows, because as you grow, you have a greater understanding of what he's asked you to do, and you have a greater impact, a greater activity, a greater influence on the people and the world around you as you come to understand what it is that God has birthed inside of you. In other words, I can say it this way. There is a ministry inside of you that God has planted there, waiting for you to grow into it so you can expand the kingdom of God. Did you know you have a ministry inside of you? Yeah. You do. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have something good inside of you. Now, I saw some people shake their heads in the negative way, like, no, there is not a ministry inside of me. Here's what ministry means. It means to serve. Do you know that there's a serve inside of you? There's something inside of you that will serve the world around you. And as you grow, you come into a greater understanding of what that is. See, when I run into people say, I just really don't know what it is that God has called me to do. I really just don't know what that looks like. You know what I know about that person? Somewhere along the line, something has gotten in their spiritual journey and caused them to stagnate and get stuck and not continue to grow, because the further you grow, the clearer that becomes. Let me illustrate it to you this way. My wife and I, when we started this church, there's a little bit of a debate. I was 27, she was 26. I'm married up. Somebody say amen to that. I was 27, she was 26. We had 4 children, and I think their ages were 5, 5, 3, and 2 at the time. Really dumb. Like, you know, we need something else to do, right? When we have those age of kids. And so when parents, I'm gonna step on some new parents' toes for a minute, okay? So when parents come up to me and say, you know, we just really busy, right now. We're just really busy to get involved and serve and help with God's work. I'm like, shut up, you whiny baby. Somebody needs to change your diaper. You are just whining to the wrong person. I had 3 jobs, 4 kids, 1 wife, and no sense, and I made it happen somehow. Come on, you know, we get so built up into this world around us. See, God's desire for us is that our sphere of influence would expand. That requires us to grow, and when we grow, we are uncomfortable. You should be uncomfortable right now. You should be uncomfortable right now if you're growing. See, but here's what we do. We retreat into comfort. And here's my concern for much of the American church is that we've built an altar to a God whose name is comfort. And we want to be comfortable. We don't want nobody touching us. We want a few spaces between us and the next person. We want the room exactly climate controlled the way it suits my body type. I want to make sure that my seat is open every time I come to the building. I want to make sure I park in the same spot. I want to make sure that everything is just easy, easy, lemon squeezy in my life. And when something goes wrong, we do something like this. We say, God, why is this happening to me? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you putting me through this? And I think God is probably saying, you whiny baby, get a tissue and get over it. Listen, don't misunderstand me. I am kind of making fun and making light of a situation that maybe is going on in your world. But let me tell you something. It matters what you're going through, and it matters that you go through it, understanding that people have gone through much, much worse with a much better attitude at times. You know that's true? And we get so, oh, I got to be comfortable. Everybody's got to do it my way. And if just one thing just doesn't go my way, then my faith falters and I just quit and give up and whine about it and complain about it and grumble about it. And I'm just gonna quit. Since God didn't do this for me, I'm gonna take my ball and go home. And go home. He forgot about me. No, he didn't. He's waiting for you to grow and expand beyond that point of overly sensitive so you can experience everything he has for you. You know what I've realized? Some of the best things in my life came because I didn't quit and buckle under the weight and the pressure of the pain of the situation. I just kept right on growing. Did you catch that? I just kept right on growing. Not going, but growing. See, there's just some things in your life you've got to outgrow. If you just keep on growing, eventually that thing will be in your rearview mirror. But if you don't keep growing, you're going to deal with that thing over and over and over. Paul says, it's really awesome. He says, so that this thing will greatly expand. Let me show you how this works. So we started the church. I was 27. She was 26. And let me give you some real deep, deep, deep revelation here, okay? I know more today about leading a local church than I did then. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome. And listen, you're going to know more about your sphere of influence 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if you just don't quit. You know, I've written resignation letters to this board on multiple occasions and never turned them in. Yay. Wow, thank you. I could have went the other way, you know. Somebody like, why didn't you do it? Turn it in, man. Turn it in. Why? Because I made the decision that I wasn't going to let my feelings dictate the call of God on my life. And don't misunderstand me. I've laid across the bed and cried. I've prayed. I've said, God, You know, the Bible likens our journey, all of our journeys, not just my journey, but your journey, our journey as Christ followers, as an army of believers. Paul in one passage says, I think it's Paul who says, endure hardness as good soldiers. Man, I hate that verse. Endure hardness as good soldiers? I've laid across my bed and cried out to God, God, give me a transfer or I might go AWOL. And over and over and over again, that request has come back stamped, denied. Endure this. Get through this. Suck it up, buttercup. Just keep on moving forward. Just keep on moving forward. Just keep on going. Expand. And so there's a lady in our church. She came in and she talked to Angie and I. Amazing lady. She's one of our more mature attenders. She's got more life experience. And she said, Josh, I finally know what it is that God wants me to serve in. And she brought this idea of an area that we don't even have in existence in our church. She said, Josh, I feel like I'm called to help single moms who are going through emotional distress, financial distress. I have a heart for them. I want to be there for them. I want to help them. I want to mentor them. I want to coach them. And as Angie and I heard this, God is my witness, we all three of us together, me, her, and this other lady, we got emotional. Why? Because as she shared her heart, and as her heart expanded, it became contagious. And we felt it. It expanded. See, listen, here's what will keep a church from expanding. You ready? Selfishness. Selfishness. Us four no more. Angie and I used to go to this marriage conference. We really liked it because they treated us really, really well. We got really nice seats. They'd bring us back to the back room, like the secret room for food. There's secret rooms in church. Did you know that? They like bring you back and they give you food and they give you stuff and they're like they're really nice to you at this conference. And I was like, oh man. So we were driving there on our way there. It was in Branson and we were on our way there and I said, man, she said, are you excited about the conference? I said, I am, but you know what? I'm kind of concerned that it's getting too big. She's like, well, why is that a concern? Well, what if they don't give me my special seat? What if I don't get an invitation to get to food? I might go hungry. Like, you know, and what was at the core of that? Selfishness. Which brings me to this last part of the verse. See, we expand, we grow, we innovate, we think, we take risks, we're uncomfortable. And here's what Paul says, it's all for. It's all for this in the beginning of the verse 16. So that, it's all for what, Paul? So that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Listen, all of this life, I have a really, really big announcement to make to you. This life is supposed to be bigger than you. And there's stuff beyond you. There's stuff out beyond your reach. There's stuff beyond you, what you can see and what I can see. In other words, there are people, as we expand our heart, as we expand our thinking, as we expand our circle of love, God is going to reach out beyond us to people we don't even know exist. He did it already once and twice and over again for us as a church. When we made that first move from our first location to here, that's when we really kind of crossed over and transformed our thinking and said, we're going to widen this circle of love. Expand beyond us. About a year and a half ago it was about 2 years ago now, Angie and I had been talking about moving for quite a while. We have four kids, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, and we were in a itty-bitty house for us. For six people, we were in an itty-bitty house. It was about 1,000 or 1,200 square feet, which for six people, you know, that's tight. We had three bedrooms and two bathrooms. and four kids shared one bathroom. And they were like preteens or teenagers. Disgusting bacteria trap, like some kind of biological experiment was going on in there. Disgusting. Just gross, nasty. Had to cast a devil out of the bathroom like four times a week. I mean, it was gross. And we've been talking about moving, and we've been making sacrifice, and we're sitting together as a family at the dinner table, and we're sitting there, and we're talking about it, and I'm going into my visionary mode, and like how great it's going to be when we go from here to there, and we need to leave here so we can go there, and it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be great. We don't know what it looks like, but we're going to go there. And Audrey is sitting there, and she's our quiet one. And the quiet ones, y'all, are the ones you've got to watch. And I can see her. Like, she's gearing up to say something. And I'm going off. I'm, like, super excited. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be the best day of your life. It's going to be awesome. And she barks out. She said, "We aren't ever going to move from here. We're always going to be here. You're not going to do anything. You're just talking." That hurt, because the truth is, I was talking. But in that moment, when she sassed me like that, I didn't know up until that point if we were going to move, but once she said we aren't going to move, something flipped in me, and I'm like, I don't care, come heaven or hell, I don't care if I got to rob a bank, we moving from this house. We're getting out of here. And I flipped a switch, and we made a little family motto out of there, because it's not just enough for us to just want to move. There's got to be a reason. See, we had the kids open and enrolled in a different school district. It was 18 minutes one way, and they had different start times for their schools because, you know, some of them were on middle school time, some of them were on elementary time, and it was a major stress for my wife. And a stressed wife is not a good thing. And it's not a good situation. That is not what we signed up for. And so we made this little motto: less stress so we can better bless. That was a little catchy motto for us. Less stress so we can better bless. It wasn't just about less stress. It was about living beyond us. And we began to dream and say, hey, we want to have a good location because I want all the kids of my kids' friends, all my children's friends, to come to our house. I want to become the go-to house. I want our house to be the go-to one in the neighborhood. I want bikes piled up in the front yard. I want cars in the driveway. I want people eating up my food. I want everybody at my house, because I know what goes on in my house. And I want them there, and here's what I want. I want kids in my house. I want to influence those kids. I want to speak life into those kids. I want to have conversations with those kids because they deserve it, and because eventually I'm going to need some more staff, and I want these kids to come back and work for me. Right? That's the best kind. And so we started doing that, and we moved toward it, and we moved out of that place, and yesterday I was mowing. And I was making a pass up toward our house. And there was four cars in the driveway that were not mine. And another one was coming up the lane. And I got ticked off. I said, this is ridiculous. I cannot even get out of my garage with my car. I had to be ninja style mower maneuverability to get my mower out of the garage, because I had to bob and weave through these trucks and vehicles and vans and all this stuff that was in my, for a split second I got ticked off. I'm like, this is stupid. People up in my space. I need my own space. I need to get out of my space. I want my own space. And then I thought, you dummy. This is what we asked for. This was our goal. Here's the point. It's so easy to stop living beyond you and get back in you, thinking within the terms of what you want. You know, this church is the exact same way. We've outgrown this thing. We've outgrown it
multiple times over. And it's time for us to take another step. And some of you are like, we're never going to do that. Yes, we are going to do it. And here's what I promise you. There's going to be somebody parked up in your parking space. There's going to be somebody sitting in your chair where you normally sit. There's going to be somebody serving in an area that you used to run the roost in, rule the roost, and used to be large and in charge. And you're going to have to remind yourself, this is why we did it. We did it because we're going to have a faith that's beyond us. We're going to live beyond ourselves, and we're going to live for others. Your needs are going to be met because God promises that. But what about the people whose needs aren't being met? Don't they have the right to have a place? Don't they need the privilege of coming to a place where they can hear God's word and grow just like you have the opportunity to? That was really weak, but okay. Daniel, come and help me, because I'm going to finish with this. Watch your attitude. Faith has an attitude. And it's an attitude that speaks life. Jesus talked about in Mark 11, verse 23 and 24, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. What's Jesus saying there? Your faith is expressed in your words. You talking down? You critical? You negative? Or you speaking up? You talking life? You talking beyond you? Paul, that's just one expression. Just how we speak, that attitude. Another attitude is the attitude of joy. Paul was about to be shipwrecked. And he stands up in the middle of the master sailors who have done everything they know to do, and the ship is still going down. And Paul stands up in his audacious attitude of faith, and he says, sirs, be of good cheer, because I believe God. See, his faith had a joy that was contagious to others. Is that present in you? Is that excitement in you? That's how you know if you're growing in God, if you're growing in your faith. I'm going to read a story of life transformation that I think is absolutely incredible. True story. From someone who attends our church, I told him I would let them remain anonymous because of the nature of the story, okay? This is what they said. Between the ages of 14 to 17, I was molested by the music minister at the church I attended. Because of this lack of trust, my relationship with God, friends, family, significant other, were greatly hindered. In 2011, I started attending More Life Church with my family. I would arrive late to miss the praise and worship because it scared me, and I wouldn't even enter the sanctuary. After 2.5 years of attending, a change in the church was made, and I could no longer sit in the coffee room during the service. I was hurt, scared, and felt like I was being pushed out. With support from my spouse, I began to go to the sanctuary for just the message portion of the service. Of course, it was in the back corner. We sat there for about a year, avoiding any church people. With support from my spouse again, we made a big move, huge step for me. Easter Sunday, my spouse was asked to help in the children's area, which left just myself and one of my children to attend. At the last minute, another one of my children said they wanted to go into the sanctuary with us. I took a step I thought I never would take. I entered the sanctuary during praise and worship. And as I did, I watched my child's face light up with amazement at the worship that was being offered to God. And in that moment, every fear left. I began to sing, and I enjoyed it. God's people in this house have been so accepting of our very unique family. And check this out. And you have allowed us to blossom at our own pace. I love that. That's what God wants, for us to have the liberty to blossom at our own pace. The scripture says that we're to bloom where we're planted. And each one of us, as a representation of that seed, have different length of time in which it takes us to bear fruit. And however long that is, however short that is, one thing that I think was absolutely incredible is at the end of it, I said, hey, may I share this story anonymously? And they wrote back and they said, you can share it, and it doesn't have to be anonymously, because I'm no longer ashamed. Now, because of the nature of it, I thought, I'm not going to do that. But that just tells you to the depth of healing that that individual received in that moment. And that's just one area that so many people in our church are experiencing. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. I'm going to wrap up. I thank you for listening. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here, for every heart that's been open and receptive. And Lord, as we begin to expand spiritually and in our facility, Lord, I thank you for speaking to every heart in a way that makes sense to you. Father, speak to them at what they need. Give them the courage and strength, Lord, to obey in this time. And I thank you for growing each and every person, from the youngest to the oldest, and everyone in between. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to give you an opportunity to take a step of faith if you don't know Christ, or your relationship with Christ is not what it ought to be. You say, Josh, I need to make a decision. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat. I'm just simply going to ask you to lift up a hand. And we're all going to pray a prayer together. Say, Josh, I don't know him, but I need to. I believe with all my heart right now, he's moving in this place. And he did for you what you could not do for yourself. Every single person in this place has sinned and fallen short of God's best. Every one of us has. Jesus died so that we wouldn't have to pay the penalty for all eternity long for the sin of our wrongdoing. And if you want to accept that free payment that was made on your behalf, and know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you will spend eternity forever with him, here's what I want you to do. I want you just to simply lift up your hand and say, Josh, that's me. I have a need for this relationship with the risen Savior that you're talking about. And I want to pray with you. Anybody say, Josh, that's me. My relationship with him isn't what it ought to be. It's non-existent. But I want to make a decision today to make him the Lord of my life. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, young lady. Gotcha. Pray this out loud together, all of us, even if you've prayed it dozens of times before. Would you join me in praying this with individuals who are maybe praying it for the very first time? Everybody repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now and forever, I turn from my sin and I turn to your Son, and I accept him for all the days of my life. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Make some noise, y'all. Make some noise for those individuals. That's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.